Dr. Lita Arujo. Lita has a pharmacy degree from Catholic University in Arequipa, Peru, and a master's degree in microbiology from the University of London, England. And she's currently studying at the Massachusetts College of Pharmacy in the PhD program of Pharmaceutical Economics and Policy. And she's conducted previous studies in drug shortages. Dr. Arujo.
Thank you. Thank you. So this study was done by pharmacists because we as pharmacists wanted to know how much it is known about the mechanism of action of the drugs currently in the market. So first, the disclosure, I, Lita Araujo, has no relationship to disclose, and I also want to acknowledge our team that worked in this study. And I will follow this outline for the presentation. So as you all may know, the mechanism of action that I sometimes will refer like HAMOA describe a biochemical event indicative of a drug's pharmacological activity. The FDA requires that the mechanism of action should be stated on the drug's label, and we think that the mechanism of action could assist better to the health providers to understand the therapeutic applications and possible adverse reactions of a drug or biological product. So the objective of the study was the assessment of the mechanism of action as described in the product label for the anatomical, therapeutical, chemical classes of new drugs and biologics approved by the FDA between 1980 and 2012. We use two main online sources, the Daily Med by the National Institute of Health and the drugs at FDA by the FDA. The labels and or the mechanism of action that we couldn't find on those sources, we searched for them at the physician's desk and reference books from 1980 to 2013. The mechanism of action was classified mainly on the wording. We check a clear stated wording. So, it's better like, okay, sorry. So, known was the includes clearly or well-defined words. Hypothesize includes equivocating words or phrases like remains to be fully established, appears to be, or not determined, may be involved, and equivocating words like likely, probably, postulate, suggest. This is just an example. There is a long list. And of course, for the unknown mechanism of action, includes the words unknown or not known. The label was reviewed, and the mechanism of action was classified by three researchers. We also used the anatomical, therapeutical, and chemical classification system by the World Health Organization, which divide the drugs in groups according to organ or system on which the drug acts, and therapeutic and chemical characteristics of the product in five different levels. We use the first two levels for this study, the anatomical, ATC1, and the therapeutic, ATC2. We also perform chi-square tests to assess differences in proportions. So now the results. There were 902 new drugs and biologics approved by the FDA between the study period of 1980 and 2012. We excluded 32 products. There were some veterinary products and mainly combination products. So the study was done with 870 products. from where we got 87% of products with a known mechanism of action, 29% of products have a hypothesized mechanism of action, and 40% of products have an unknown mechanism of action. We also wanted to know how this MOA status evolves over time. So we studied and divided the drugs according when they were approved in the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. And we can see an increase in the known, the orange is the known mechanism of action, an increase over time, and a decrease of the hypothesized mechanism of action, and though the unknown mechanism of action remains almost the same. So we think that maybe this can be due in part because of the technology has advanced, it's better now, and also the FDA regulations has improved and they have standardized the labels. When we did the study, we read the labels from the 80s, was quite chaotic. We couldn't find the mechanism of action. And it was improving until the 2000s. There was already a template that all the companies followed to present the mechanism, the whole label of the drug. We also wanted to know if there were other reasons why there was this MOA status, no? And we did a chi-square test for orphan drugs versus non-orphan drugs, but there was no statistical significant difference in this group. So then we also did the chi-square test for marketed versus discontinued drugs. And here we found a statistically significant difference with a p-value lower than 0.05, indicative of a strong relationship between the marketed versus discontinuous drug and their mechanism of action status. And we go further, we say, well, maybe this can be due also to time. So we did the same chi-square test for the drugs approved in the 80s and the drugs approved in the 90s, and we can see that the ones in the 80s has also a low p-value, indicative of a significant statistical difference. And this may be due to, because this drug has been longer on the market, also the technology has changed for the new ones. No? And as I said in the objective, we also use the anatomical therapeutic chemical classification system. So we... in this case, is the first ATC1 is the first label for the anatomical group. This label has 14 categories, and you can see in the bottom, for example, for diagnostic and therapeutic groups, anti-infectives or blood-forming organs, there is a big percentage, like 92% of known mechanism of action for these drugs. And if you go to the bottom of the graph, you can see the ones with the lowest percentage of known mechanism of action. And you can see that the nervous system has only 12% of known mechanism of action. The hypothesized products have 72% of hypothesized mechanism of action, as well as the dermatologic and the musculoskeletal system seems to be the ones with the lowest known mechanism of action. So to show you in this presentation, I choose the first three ones to see how it does represent in the subcategory on the ATC2, which is the therapeutic group. So for example, for the musculoskeletal system that has a 42% of known mechanism of action, you can see this group, the musculoskeletal system have six subgroups, therapeutic subgroups. In these ones, you can see on the top are the product with the highest known mechanism of action, and in the bottom, the ones with the lowest mechanism of action. And for example, the anti-inflammatory and anti-rheumatic products are the ones who, drugs that everybody uses, drugs that we know. And for this study period, there were 16 products approved, and 0% of known mechanism of action for these products, 81% of hypothesized mechanism of action, and 19% of unknown mechanism of action. Mm-hmm. And we can see, for example, for the drugs for treatment of bone disease, it's almost half and half between known mechanism of action and hypothesized mechanism of action. The second group with the lowest percentage was the dermatologicals, with a 36% of known mechanism of action in the ATC1 category. So in this category, dermatologicals have 8 sub-therapeutic groups, and you can see that, for example, corticosteroids in dermatological preparation, there were 5 products approved in this study period, and 100% of them are just have only hypothesized mechanism of action, 0% of known mechanism of action. And another maybe interesting could be the antifungals, which also has only 37% of known mechanism of action and 62% of hypothesized mechanism of action. And the one with the lowest percentage of mechanism of action was the nervous system, which has a 12% of known mechanism of action in the ATC1 category. And if, in the therapeutic category, there is 7 categories. And you can see that this is, even though the number of drugs approved in that period is higher than in the other 2 categories or subgroups, we can see here that it's more diverse. For example, the highest percentage of no mechanism of action is on the top for the other nervous system drugs, but it's only 40%. It's still low. And the lowest in the, for example, the anti-epileptic subgroup, for 16 products approved, is a 0% of known mechanism of action, with almost 88% of just hypothesized mechanism of action. The psychoanalytics is also like that, very low percentage for known mechanism of action, quite high for the hypothesized. And maybe it's interesting to see also, for example, for the psycholeptics, it's a 40% unknown mechanism of action for these drugs. And it's the one with the biggest number of drugs approved in the study period, 25 drugs approved there. So as you can see, all of these drugs are products that are used by, so they are an important number of therapeutic classes that have a low proportion of non-mechanism of action, as I say, and many of these drugs belong to classes that are used by a large number of patients. So we think that the lack of information about mechanism of action could result in safety and efficacy problems. So that's why we want to give some policy recommendations, mainly to the FDA. We think that the FDA could develop an standardized template for product label mainly with regard to the mechanism of action. We think that also the FDA could require compliance with its guidelines, because when we checked the labels, they were not all following the guidelines of the FDA. And we think that the FDA could encourage manufacturers to continue collecting evidence post-marketing to confirm mechanism of action of the drugs and biologic products. Thank you very much, and if you have any questions.